What's happening, Polite Society? I hope you're having a good week. If you're here for the first time, welcome to my channel. I'm Alan. Today, we're going to be continuing with our series on the women's movement. The individual who we'll be looking at today is quite significant. Though she may not have intended them to be, her ideas have shaped the thinking of second and third wave egalitarians, as well as modern queer theorists. All right, let's delve in. Simone de Beauvoir was born to a distinguished Parisian family in 1908. Her father was a lawyer and an atheist. Her mother was a devout Catholic and from a well-to-do family. However, as a young teen, Simone rebelled from her religious upbringing. This was a cause of tension between Beauvoir and her mother. Simone's close friend Elizabeth died in 1929. Though the official cause of Elizabeth's death was meningitis, Beauvoir believed that her friend's struggle over an arranged marriage was the actual reason. Perhaps Simone's anger over this became the foundation for her later criticism of what she perceived as rigid bourgeois restrictions on women. Due to financial problems following World War I, Beauvoir's father was afflicted by the idea of his two daughters having to take on professional careers. But Simone relished in the opportunity. Life as an educator and author was far more appealing to her than the vocation of a mother. At the academy, Beauvoir met Jean-Paul Sartre, the famous French philosopher and author, with whom she had a lifelong relationship. We've looked at free love before when we examined Percy and Mary Shelley. Free love is one of the three main characteristics of egalitarianism, according to scholar Carrie Gress. And we see it recurring here again with Sartre and Beauvoir. Simone never married, nor did she ever have any children. While she and Sartre were lovers, they also continued to have romantic relationships with others. There are also darker elements to Beauvoir's erotic behavior. She admitted to having a prenatal infanticide when the practice was illegal. And in 1943, she was suspended from teaching after being accused of abusing a 17-year-old student in a carnal fashion. Simone died from alcohol-related complications in 1986. Let's take a look at her work. In her book, The Second Sex, Simone wrote that fundamentally men oppress women at every level. Her primary thesis was that men characterize women as other. By this, she meant that the male is the seer. She wrote that throughout the course of human history, motherhood has been both revered and reviled. This ideal becomes projected upon a woman who is robbed of her individuality. Beauvoir was an existentialist. Some of the core beliefs of existentialism are that the universe is absurd, life is absurd, and the greatest absurdity of all is death, because it is the ultimate end. However, even in the midst and face of such absurdity, we must carve out our own creative path. We must not mindlessly follow the herd like most of the masses. Instead, we should attempt to make our own unique and distinctive mark in this world. Of course, always looming in the existentialist background is the danger of nihilism and utterly giving up all hope. An example in popular entertainment of an existentialist character is Heath Ledger's Joker in the film The Dark Knight. He dons war paint, wears a pink suit, has long, messy green hair, and does not abide by the rules of ordered society. Instead, he lives by his own amoral code. Simone's existentialism can be seen in her views on transcendence and immanence. According to Beauvoir, men are free to be transcendent and achieve fulfillment through creativity. As a result, males were able to leave behind a personal legacy. On the other hand, women were restricted to immanence. They were confined to unfulfilling duties such as household management, marriage, and motherhood. Perhaps the most famous statement of Simone de Beauvoir is, "One is not born, but rather becomes woman." This statement found in Book 2 of her volume is considered perhaps the most famous female empowerment sentence ever written. I'm not exactly sure what she meant by it, but in contemporary times it has taken on a serrated edge in the hands of the left. Let's turn now to criticism. Simone de Beauvoir's egalitarian outlook once again contains components of the single-mindedness of the women's empowerment worldview. Like many female activists, she commits the fallacy of exclusion. Even in the past, only a small minority of men wielded political power. It seems Beauvoir is focused on females achieving success in the realm of politics, education, and business. But in general, most people live ordinary lives. Men especially work in taxing fields such as bricklaying, carpentry, oil rigging, and sanitation. These occupations are often very arduous and dangerous, and I commend these men. In many egalitarian circles, there seems to be a downplaying of the concept of duty, as if the work of a housewife and house mother or a working class man is somehow less important. But in actuality, nothing could be further from the truth. In the West, we are seeing disastrous results because of egalitarian values. The birth rate is low, and fewer men are pursuing labor-intensive vocations. And why should they? They are not going to be thanked for it anyway. Also, historically, the value of the lives of women has often been placed above those of men. This can be particularly seen during wartime, when men, sometimes even boys, are sent off to fight in battle and risk their lives. Additionally, the scriptures are clear when it comes to the primary duties of women. In Titus 2, godly matrons are told to instruct young women to love their husbands and children, be sensible, be pure. That is the opposite of promiscuous, like most modern women, by the way. Be homemakers, be kind, one of the translations of that word is agreeable, and be subject to their husbands. And yes, contrary to what some complementarians tell you, ladies, the Bible does teach that wives are to obey their husbands. In summation, the philosophy and ideology of Simone de Beauvoir has been without question destructive and deleterious to Western society. It should go without saying that her abuse of a minor was absolutely horrific, and that type of criminal behavior, regardless of the gender of the victimizer, should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Beauvoir's legacy has also led to the deleterious effects we are experiencing from the Tea Movement. Her successors have separated female from woman, have taken society in a disastrous direction. Only a robust and benevolent biblical patriarchy will be able to combat this perverse ideology, and by God's grace, steer us back in the right way. So let's be in prayer for those who are deceiving and being deceived by egalitarianism. Let's pray that the Spirit will work in their hearts so that they will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is freely offered in the gospel. The sources that I used are available in the description below. All right, that's a wrap for now, ladies and gents. If you want to share your own thoughts, be sure to do so in the comment section down below. Thanks for watching, everyone. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. If you like the content here, you can subscribe by clicking on the icon on the bottom right. Then you can hit the bell for notifications. I upload a new video every Wednesday and every Saturday. Have an awesome week, and for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all always. I will see you all in the next video. God's blessings on your week.